Good morning. It is time to open our service. Let me begin by reading the announcements for the week. 344. And let's stand while we sing. Let's kneel in prayer. Our dear Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the many blessings Thou hast given us. We thank Thee for Thy watch, care, and protection. Dear Lord, we thank Thee for allowing us to meet here together this day. And dear Lord, we'd ask that Thou would be with each one of us, that Thou would open up our hearts and our minds, that we might be receptive to the words that we will hear, that we might be able to apply them in our lives. And dear Lord, we'd ask that Thou would be with our brother as he stands before us, that Thou would pour out Thy Spirit upon him, dear Lord, that Thou would give him freedom of thought and freedom of tongue, that he might bring those things to our minds. Dear Lord, we'd ask that Thou would be with all those who stand in need, all those in foreign lands and those that are sick and afflicted, dear Lord, that Thou would be with each one to uplift them and strengthen and comfort them and as they stand in need. that, Lord, we'd ask that would be with our children, our young people, that always be mindful of them, dear Lord, that would watch over them, protect them, and guide them and direct them in all that they do. Dear Lord, we'd ask that would be with us all the days of our life, that we might always have that desire to follow after thee and to serve thee to the end. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue with the use of number 266, 266. And let's again stand while we sing. I know that our brother has prepared a message for us this morning, and I now ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother Jim Yates.
Thank you, Dwayne. Good morning to each and every one of you. It's good to see you all here. It's good to see that you chose to come out of the world and to separate yourself and to draw yourself closer unto our God and our Savior. There are two subjects that I don't like to dwell a lot on, and one is Satan and his power, and the things that he can do to us, and the other is dealing with nature of the darker side of mankind. But this morning, that's kind of what I'm going to do. I'm going to deal with one of man's natures, one of the things that we do automatically. And I'm going to start this morning in Lamentations. Jeremiah is one of the prophets that stood in Jerusalem and told them that if they didn't change their ways, they were going to be destroyed. And as we know, most of the prophets either left Jerusalem or were killed, but they didn't write of it. Jeremiah saw it firsthand, and he wrote of it, and it thus comes Lamentations. He lamented, and he groaned, and he was made sick over the things that he saw, and he wrote some of them down. I'm going to start in Lamentations, the third chapter, the first verse. And he starts out, and he point blank says, I am a man. That's what I am. That's who I am. I'm a man. Can't change a thing about him. He tried. God tried. Used him to try to change the attitudes of the people there in Jerusalem. And they wouldn't heed his words. I can only imagine as he penned these words that he was like many of the prophets, that he really wished that there was something physically that he could have done to get the attention of those that he was talking to get them to change their attitude and their lives. He says, I am a man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not unto light. Surely against me he turned. He turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. This is the darker side that I want to talk about. We internalize things. We bring things within us that is out of our control. And we automatically think it is our fault. And we're being punished for those things that are outside of our control. Several of the people in the Bible did this. Job wrote about it. We're going to read some of his words. David wrote about it. Except for David was one of the few people that actually brought his own afflictions upon him by his sins. And he admits it, and we will read that. Let's turn over into, hold your place. We're going to stay in Lamentations, and we're going to be going back and forth. Let's turn over into Job in the 16th chapter. Reading the 6th to the 16th verse. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged. And though I forbear, what am I eased? He talks about it. He spoke of it. But still, it didn't change anything within him. It didn't change his surroundings. But now he hath made me weary. Thou hast made desolate all my company. And thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which is a witness against me. And my leanness rise up, and my in me beareth witness in my face. He teareth me in his wrath, who hateth me. He gnashes upon me with his teeth. My enemies sharpened his eyes upon me. They have agaped upon me with their mouths. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me. God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaking me to pieces and set me up for a mark. And when I read this, I think of a wild dog that just caught its prey and how it shakes it and utterly rattles it. And he says he's been set up to be a mark, something to be preyed upon. His archers compass around me. Compass me around about. cleaveth my reins asunder, and doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground. And I was wondering what reins was. I had a hard time with that because it had a meaning and I didn't know what it was. It's a seat of feeling or affliction. It has to do with the small of your back, your kidney area. And if anybody with back problem knows that when that bothers you and that is sore, everything you do aggravates your pain. Everything that Job did seems to aggravate his anguish. And he was putting a blame on it. He was blaming God. And that is something that man does. We want to turn and blame somebody else for the things that are going wrong in our lives. He's turning around and blaming God for all that has happened to him, much as Jeremiah was doing. He was blaming God for those things that are happening to him, and he was internalizing, taking them upon himself. He breaketh me with branches upon branch. He runneth upon me like a giant. I have sewn sackcloth upon my skin and defiled my horn in the dust. My face is foul with weeping, and my eyelids is a shadow of death. He is doing the same thing that Jeremiah was doing. Let's turn over into Psalms. David writes something very similar in the 31st Psalms, the 9th through the 13th verse. But he does start out and he says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eyes is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent in grief and my years with sighing. My strength fadeth because of mine iniquities, and my bones are consumed." At least David knew that he was here because of things that he did. His own personal acts drew him away from God. And he knew that the things that he was suffering was because of his acts. "I was approached among all mine enemies, but especially among thy neighbors, my neighbors, and a fear for mine iniquities. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man. Out of mine, I am like a broken vessel." And we do that. When we are in trouble, the first thing we do, we think that we are forgotten by everybody. We want to run into our little rooms, and we want to close the door, and we want to hide from the world. We want to hide from the very people that can lift us up and help us in our trials. David said, "I am forgotten. Even my God has forgotten me." And that's the other thing we do. We want to turn around and say, "God is not there with me." But did you catch the phrase? We turn around. We turn our back on God. We leave Him behind us where we can't see. Much like Dwayne preached the one time where we're looking at the picture and we turn a little bit, it gets a little blurry, and we turn again, and pretty soon it is totally out of our sight. And we like to think if it's out of our sight, it's not there. We can't see it, it can't harm us. We can't see it, it's not our worry. If we can't see it, it is not there to help us. "For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life." And that's the other thing we do. We want to think what the other person is thinking. We want to think that when they see two people talking, that they're talking about me. I know what they're talking about. I know exactly what they're thinking. And they're talking about me. one more excuse why I need to run into my little corner or my little room and shut the door. Let's go back over into Lamentations, saying in the third chapter. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath built against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. Just like David, he's being put somewhere in the darkness and where the dead are. He hath hedged about me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. And when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayers. This is what started me thinking about this, is I had several people in the last month or so, members of the church, and also people that I work with, said that when I pray, my prayer goes no higher than the ceiling. God doesn't listen. God's not interested in what I am and what I'm about. And he's not interested in my afflictions. And he's not interested in hearing me pray. Keep your fingers there. Let's turn over into Job. And we'll continue that thought. The 30th chapter. Kind of painting a dark picture, aren't I? I hope I get brighter by the end of my sermon. Job, the 30th chapter, starting with verse 16. And now my soul is poured out upon me. The day of affliction has taken hold of me. My bones are pierced in me in the night session. And the sinew takes no rest. But the great force of my disease is my garment changed. It bindeth me about as a collar of my coat. He hath cast me into the mire, and I become like dust and ash. I cry unto thee, and thou dost not hear me. I stand up, and thou regardest me not. But thou art become cruel to me. With thy strong hand thou oppressed thyself against me. When I was a young man, my horses were always breaking my horse trailer. So I had to go to a welder. Because I didn't have the right tools to weld on my horse trailer. Though I thought myself to be a decent welder. Not by a trade where I couldn't go out and make a living, but I could, being raised on the ranch, I could tack things together pretty good. The more built up, the better it was. But this welder was very talented. But he bothered me. I hated to go to him because every time the slightest thing went wrong, it was, God, why did you do this to me? God, why did you set your hand against me and make what I'm doing here go wrong? Lord, in your infinite wisdom, you made this go wrong. Just every other word. He didn't drink. He didn't cuss. He was a good man to his wife and family. But every little thing that went wrong, it was God putting his thumb on him. And it was God that was causing his trouble and his woes. David put it this way in the 22nd Psalm. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night session, and am I not silent. And that's what he would say. He said, why should I pray to God when he doesn't hear me and he causes all my work to fall apart? and everything that I do to go wrong. And this welder used this verse often with me. And then when the work was all said and done, because I would work with him, he says, I hope that my language didn't bother you. Well, it kind of does. But I was helpless to change him. There was nothing I could do to change him. It was something that he was going to have to do on his own. Let's go back into Lamentations. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayers. He hath enclosed my ways with his hewn stones. He hath made my path crooked. That's what my welder was doing. He was blaming everything on God, that God made his path crooked. God made it hard for him. He was unto me as a bear lying in waiting, and as a lion in secret places. He has turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for an arrow. He has made me an easy prey. He has marked me like he marked Cain, and now everybody can see and know that I am somebody to ridicule. I am somebody to put down. He has made me a mark. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people, and their songs all the day long. To be a derision is the act of being derided, deriding. If you look up deriding, it's to be laughed at with contempt, to be treated with scoff by laughter, and to be mocked. Christ was derided. He was truly one that was the people derisioned against. Let's turn over into Job, the 19th chapter. Job had something similar to say. Starting with the 9th verse. He has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He has destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. And my hope has he removed like a tree. All his hope is gone. He has also kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops come together and raise up their way against me, and encampus around about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me, and my acquaintance are very estranged from me. My kinfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in my house and my maid count me for a stranger. I am an alien in thy sight. I call my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body. The young children despise me. I rose and they spoke against me. My inward friends abhor me, and they whom I loved have turned against me. Those of us that work out in the world, in medicine, in the police department, the fire department, see people like this every day. When they have no hope, when they feel like their hope has been taken away from them, they become angry. They become outraged. They become murderers. And suicides increase. These people appointed and painted a pretty black picture. And before you think that it's something that's only in the Bible, let's turn over to the Book of Mormon in Moroni. Page 773. Moroni, the 10th chapter, starting with the 17th verse. Oh, the depravity of my people. They are without order and without mercy. Behold, I am but a man, and I have but the strength of a man, and I cannot no longer enforce my commands, and they have become strong in their perversion. Just like Jeremiah, Moroni stood and he testified, and he called and he told what God told him to tell his people, but he found out that he was just a man. He couldn't change anything. And they are alike, brutal, sparing none, neither old nor young. And they delight in everything save that which is good. And the suffering of our women and our children upon all the face of this land doth exceeding everything. Yea, tongue cannot tell, neither can it be written. And now, my son, I dwell no longer upon the horrible scene. But thou knowest the wickedness of this people. Thou knowest that they are without principle and press and past feelings. And their wickedness doth exceed that of the Lamanites. So this is a common problem with people when they remove themselves from God. Then Moroni goes on in the 27th verse, and he brings this bit of hope. My son, be faithful in Christ, and may not the things which I have written grieve thee to weigh thee down unto death. But may Christ lift thee up, and may his suffering and his death and the showing of his body unto our fathers, and his mercy and long suffering, and the hope of his glory and of eternal life rest in your mind forever. And may the grace of God the Father, whose throne is high in the heavens, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who sitteth on the right hand of his power, until all things shall become subject unto him, be and abide with you forever. Amen. He wrote of a hope. Hope because of his faith in God. Let's go back into Lamentations and in Job and in David now and see what happened to them. They painted these bleak pictures, as Moroni painted a bleak picture to his son. Let's see if they stayed there. Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, starting with the 19th verse. Remembering my afflictions and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. And I remember wormwood is something that they used to make astringents out of. But according to the dictionary, it's something that's bitter, It's grievous, extremely unpleasant, all bitterness. So Jeremiah is remembering his afflictions and his miseries as he's sitting there looking down upon the city that he loved and the people that he loved and the destruction that had befallen him. And he goes on and says, "My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Even in his despair, he did not lose his hope. And it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, the soul that seeketh him. Instead of drawing ourselves into our own little world and our own little corner, we need to turn to God and allow him to keep that hope that is within us alive and know that he is there for us. It is a good man. It's good. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Dropping down to the 41st verse. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands unto God in the heavens. Just part of the 42nd verse. We have transgressed and rebelled. But he's still with your transgression, your rebellion. Remember that God is still there. That is one of Satan's biggest tools, is to have us draw within ourselves. Some people would like to call it depression, whatever word you want to use for it. Loneliness, rejection. That's not God's way. 55th verse. I call upon thy name, O God, out of my dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thy ears at thy breathing at my cry. Thou drawest near in the day that I called upon thee, and thou saidest, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the cause of my soul, and hast taken and hath redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong, judge thou my case. Jeremiah was kicking himself quite hard because he felt like he failed his people. He started out lamenting, saying that God has turned away from him, that God has left me. But then he remembered that God was still there. The poem of the quick of the sand and the footsteps. One set of footsteps. I saw them. I looked at them. It says, why have you left me? The Lord says, I haven't. I carried you. Through our sorrows, the Lord is there, holding us, comforting us, if we will allow him to do so. Let's go into Psalms. Chapter 31. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely to for the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp. Sing unto him. I can't say the word pleasure. And an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully. I'm in the 33rd verse, no wonder. Let me go back over to the 31st verse. 31st chapter, I mean. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thy ear unto me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my stone, my strong rock. For a house is defense to save me. For a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Unto thine hand I commit my spirit, though thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Dropping down to the 15th verse. My times are in thy hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Going on down to the 21st verse. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in the strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. And that is what we do as a nation, as a people, as an individual. In our haste, we say we are cut off. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou hath heard the voice of my supplications, and when I cry unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doers. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. David wrote it very well in the 23rd Psalm. Of all the things that he wrote, I think he put the grasp on the life of a man. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I fear no evil. And we walk through that valley. It is sin that causes that valley. It is sin, as David said, that pulls us away from God. It is sin that blinds our eyes to him. And though we walk through that valley in that shadow, I fear no evil, for thou art my rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Grabbing onto that rod of iron will bring comfort. And God corrects those who he loves. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of thine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Job wrote it in a little different way. A very strong way. Job in the 19th chapter. And all the things that he said during his times of afflictions and his time of sorrow, when he was looking within in himself, trying to explain why he lost his house, why he lost his family, why he lost his riches. He finally came to this realization, and he puts it this way in the 23rd, or the 19th chapter of Job, starting at the 23rd verse. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see him. I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. All of these men, in all of their trials, in all of their afflictions, came to the very brink. And they even talk about losing their hope and talk about the despair and talk about having nothing left. But that still small voice within them spoke to them, and then they remembered, and their soul did rejoice because their God is still there. His people are still there. Their Redeemer is still there. In closing, I'd like to read a couple chapters out of the 59th chapter of Isaiah. Because God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Now I'm going to change it a little bit. But our iniquities have separated us from our God. And it is our sins that hid his face from us. And he did not hear. But it reads, for your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you, and he did not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath muttered profusely. The bright picture, I hope I painted this dark side. The bright picture that I want to leave with you is the fact that God has not changed. He is still there. And his hand's not any shorter, it's not any weaker today, that he can't pick us up. And no matter what life deals us in the life that we live in today's world, no matter what stumbling blocks Satan throws in our way, no matter what pit we fall into, no matter how muddy and dirty we get, God is there to help pick you up. He is there to lift us up and to put us back on the path, to put our hand back on the rod of iron. And his blood is mighty and worthy to clean. May God bless you in your endeavors.
Thank you, Jim. Let's close our service today with the use of number 269. No, I didn't.
Okay. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock at my house.
Young people's tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at Rebecca's house. Anything else? Number 269. Let's stand while we sing. Our dear Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this time we've spent here together this day. And we thank Thee for the words that we have heard, dear Lord. And we ask that Thou would help us we might be able to apply these things in our lives. For we know that the Satan is out there trying to deceive us and lead us away and to destroy us. But, dear Lord, we know that we can overcome these things through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, we'd ask that Thou would be with all those many who stand in need, dear Lord, for we know that there are many with great afflictions and great needs, dear Lord, and we would like to uplift them and ask, dear Lord, that Thou would pour out a mighty blessing upon them, for we know that there are some needs that are so great, dear Lord, but we know that through Thy power that these things can be overcome, dear Lord. We ask that Thou would be mindful of us, dear Lord, in these last days, that Thy Spirit might be with us to guide us and direct us in all that we do as we go out into the missionary field, dear Lord, that Thou would go before us, dear Lord, and that Thou would prepare the way, and that that we might be worthy to take up that work, dear Lord. And for we know that there is much to happen in these latter days, dear Lord, and I would ask that Thou would be with each one of us, that we might be able to undertake this, dear Lord, and we might be pleasing to Thy will. Dear Lord, we ask that Thou would be with us in all things that we do and in all the days of our life, that Thou would always be there with us and to guide us and direct us in all things. We ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen.